down that crow's gut. Stop shoving. I've been here all morning.
Vincent! You must help me. I'm drowning in a sea of bodies.
Here, take my arm. Now. Forward, Mr. Wilson, to the steps of the officers of the League.
Oh, yes, but is it worth it, Vincent, all this?
Worth it? You cannot fail, Mr. Wilson. Just look. From palest canary to deepest carrot, the nut to match your own incandescent throat. Why, would you have above your brow a veritable warning? No, you are certain to be elected, then. 4 hours, easy work, good pay. And this is not worth it.
Well,
hundreds of men, Mr. Wilson, they think it worth it. Would not be here otherwise.
Yes, I suppose you're right. But it is hard.
The hardest thing about any easy berth is the getting of it. You, Mr. Wilson, have unique qualifications. So, onward.
Yes, onward.
Ever onward.
All right.
Well, let's stand. Here's my device.
The Red-Headed League by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Vincent McInerney. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring James Grout as Jabez Wilson and James Wilby as Vincent Spaulding. The Red-Headed League.
Passing down Baker Street one Saturday morning in the autumn of last year, that is to say, 1890, I decided to look in on my old friend Sherlock Holmes at number 221B. Admitting myself, I began to mount those familiar 17 stairs, wondering as I did so who or what I might find in his rooms. For the great detective, as you are no doubt aware, drew like a magnet all kinds and conditions of men and women, many of them as singular as their problems.
Holmes! Oh, why, Holmes, I had no idea. Perhaps I shall wait in the other room.
No, no, my dear Watson, come in, I beg of you. You did not have arrived at a better time. Allow me to introduce Mr. Jabez Wilson, a pawnbroker with premises in Coburg Square, near the city.
Mr. Wilson?
While Dr. Watson, Mr. Wilson, has been my partner in many of my most successful cases, and will no doubt be equally indispensable to me in yours also.
Servant, Doctor.
The case itself, Watson, promises to be one of the most unusual to yet come to my attention. Indeed, Mr. Wilson has begun a narrative which seems to bear out my observation that the strangest and most compelling events often leave room to doubt whether a crime has been committed at all. But you must hear for yourself from Mr. Wilson's own lips. Uh-huh. So unique is the train of circumstances he's begun to describe.
At this, the portly client puffed out his large chest and simultaneously ran his finger down the advertisements in an old newspaper pulled from his greatcoat pocket. As he did so, I attempted, after the fashion of my companion, to read any indications which might be presented by his dress and appearance. An average British tradesman, I thought, obese, pompous, and slow. Grey trousers, black frock coat, drab waistcoat, brassy Albert chain with square piece of metal dangling from it, faded top hat and overcoat. Nothing remarkable was my initial conjecture, but his blazing red head, an expression of extreme discontent. However,
to add to your own thoughts, Watson has done manual labor, takes snuff, is a Freemason, has traveled to China, and, of course, has written a lot lately.
What, Mr. Holmes, how in the name of good fortune did you know all that? Even as to the fact I started as a ship's carpenter.
Your right hand, my dear sir, quite a size larger and more developed than your left. Ergo, you worked hard with it. Then your arc and compass breast pin denoting your Masonic order. China, of course, we get from Watson.
That square piece of metal on your watch chain, Mr. Wilson, a Chinese coin, perhaps.
Exactly. Well, as for the writing, what else could have produced that shiny 5 inches or so on the cuff of his right sleeve, where he rests it upon the desk?
Well, I never. I thought at first, Mr. Holmes, that you'd done something clever. Now I see there's nothing to it at all.
Oh, what? I begin to think I make a mistake in explaining, and my poor little reputation will suffer shipwreck if I continue to be so candid.